Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of The Spread, presented by the Red Light Sports Network and sponsored by Cover That Spread. I'm your host, J.A., the Managing Director and Co-Founder of Cover That Spread. You guys can hear some of my other podcasts and even watch some of the videos of The Spread TV on the RedLightSportsNetwork.com. And while you're there, be sure to check out the Million Dollar Ramble and find out what you guys can do to help put an end to domestic violence. Today is a special show. We have Championship Week going on. We are in the middle of a lot of soccer going on in Europe, so we've got a lot to talk about. And joining us today, and hopefully going forward pretty regularly, one of the other cappers here at Cover That Spread, the Catacho. And I am not going to be able to roll my R's at all, so we're going to maybe have to shorten that, or I'm going to have to find another nickname. But either way, he is here, and we will get over to him shortly. But as always, today we're going to discuss line movements, futures odds, value, wagering theory, wagering strategy, and anything else that may occur. Anything else that may arise regarding gambling. This program and the website, coverthatspread.com, is for entertainment purposes only, and any questions that you may have regarding the legality of gambling and online wagering should be directed to your local and state legislative offices. However, if you do have the ability and wish to place wagers with a licensed bookmaker, please do so responsibly and be sure to square up with Uncle Sam on April 15th. Sports wagering, just like any risk-based investment, and I'm talking about derivatives, hedge funds, options, real estate, all of these can lead to losses, so you must assess your own risk tolerance before you even begin. Now, there's a couple ways to get in touch with the show. You can give us a call, 917-932-1779. We are here for the next 30 minutes. If you have any questions about soccer, if you have any questions about college basketball, even the NBA, we're going to have a couple plays for you guys a little later. So if you guys have any questions, give us a call. If you guys want to contribute anything, give us a call, 917-932-1779. You can also send me an email to spread at coverthatspread.com, and you can find me on Twitter at coverthatspread, at the spread radio, and at the spread JA. Now, before we begin, I would like to thank all of the other sponsors on the Red Light Sports Network, the Fan Addict Female, Irresistible Gourmet Popcorn, Beach Body, Trixie's Treasures, and, of course, Cover That Spread. I'd mentioned a little bit about the Million Dollar Ramble earlier, and I just wanted to give you guys a heads up. That is starting next month. So if you guys are looking to help with the cause, go to the Red Light Sports Network webpage on the front on the homepage, front and center, is the link for the Million Dollar Ramble. So go on there, guys. See if you want to donate. See if you guys have a venue you would like to donate to us so we could do a live radio show from there. And we're going to be, or I shouldn't say we, Troy and Evan are going to be going around the country, hopefully doing a show in each city that they stop in. And it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a good cause. So make sure if you have anybody that you know that can either host a show or anybody that you know that just wants to help with the cause, please reach out to Troy via the website. So without any further delays, let's get into this soccer card today. So we've got the Catacho, and he is our soccer guy here at Cover That Spread. So say hello.
Hello, J.A. Thanks for inviting me to join the show. I'm looking forward to breaking down some soccer picks. There's a lot of games going on each and every day, both across the pond, here domestically now that the MLS is starting up, and then to our friends in the South and Central and South America. Plenty of tournaments going on, lots of bets to be made.
What, if you were looking over the whole board, what is your favorite? All right, let's take a look at this two ways. from a fan standpoint, what is your favorite league? And from a betting standpoint, what is your favorite league?
From a fan standpoint, I think the best soccer that you're going to be able to watch and is probably the UEFA Champions League over in Europe. From a betting standpoint, there's a lot of different leagues. The one that I have had the most success with is actually down in Brazil. And right now there's a few different state tournaments going on. So you'll have teams from different divisions as far down as the third division playing against teams in the first division. And there's a lot of money to be made down there.
So when you're looking at these games, like, you know, I've been throwing up some soccer bets the last couple of weeks here, and I've been losing pretty regularly because I don't know much about soccer. So when you're looking at these games, you're breaking them down, where are you getting an idea? Like, what sticks out at you that says, I've got to play this game, or what do you like to play? Because I know it's a much different aspect because you have the whole draw option. So it's win, lose, or draw, technically, as long as you're not in one of the big tournaments where, you know, it's somebody has to win. So what are you looking for when you're starting to break down games or matches? Sorry, I'm going to call them games for a while before I catch on to matches.
That's fine. I think the biggest thing to look at, going over stats and everything, is when you're looking at a tournament, a lot of times you're going to have two legs. So it'll be an away game and a home game for whichever team you're looking at. What you always want to check is their away performance versus their home performance, past match results versus the team that they're going up against, and then as well as looking at their form in their own league table. So as far as where they are in the standings there, when the last game they played was, because for a lot of these leagues, they'll have games on the weekend, and then they may have a tournament game in the middle of the week. So paying attention to injuries, paying attention to what's going on as far as the standings in the league table again, those are pretty important things that you want to take a look at.
So you mentioned something that I think in a lot of American sports is kind of going away, and that's the home versus road splits. I do think there is value that you have to take into account in a lot of the traditional U.S. betting sports. If you're talking baseball, football, and basketball. But we're seeing it not be as important these days, especially when it comes to, like, basketball. I think basketball is just very hit or miss if your team is deciding to play that night or not. What about it in soccer? And let's use this Brazilian league that you like so much. What about the home versus road splits, do you think makes a difference with them?
I think the biggest thing to take a look at as far as the Brazilian league is concerned, and right now with the state tournaments, is really how far are they traveling and what signings are being made. So, for instance, my favorite team in Brazil is Corinthians. And Corinthians just recently signed a former Brazilian national team player to join the team named Wagner Love. And as soon as I saw the signing and who they were playing in their next match, which was, I believe, a Division II team down there, I knew right away I was going to bet it. He was coming over from Europe. He was in good form. The team in and of itself was already performing at a higher level against these lower division teams. But the thing that I did right away, I believe that game was a 1.5-point spread. So I went ahead and took it for Corinthians. And sure enough, they won 2-0 at home in his debut.
Okay. So you've got these tough travel conditions. You've got a borderline third world country outside of the major cities, which I'm sure is not making it easier either. Now, you'd mentioned betting spreads in -1.5. What are the spreads regularly in soccer? Like, what are they ranging from? Because I've noticed they're not always 1.5 like you find in baseball.
Right. You'd see anything from a pick to at least 2.5 is the highest I've seen so far. And like I said, it really depends on the form of the team. And with these tournaments, like, let's say, for instance, over in England, they also have a tournament called the FA Cup, which is open to all domestic leagues. in that country. So you have teams like regular club teams that you and I might pick up and join in a rec league that are eligible at the beginning of the tournament and may make it a few different rounds before they get knocked out by a bigger club team from another division. But they go at least, I believe, 8 divisions deep when they start off that specific domestic championship. So you never really know how far the smaller club teams will go, but you always know that the powerhouses are most likely to knock them out. And when you have a David versus Goliath type of matchup, that higher-seeded team is always going to be a favorite as far as the spread is concerned. And depending on how big of a club they are, the higher the spread is going to be.
Okay. All right. So I think that's not too far-fetched. Nothing really new for anybody that's ever watched sports in their life. So that's good. Now, when would you decide if you're going to take an underdog? What would you have to see from either one of those club teams or maybe even from one of like the lower powerhouse teams? What would make you decide to, you know, take a plus 200 underdog or a plus 400 underdog?
That's a good question. So, for instance, let's take a look at the Champions League games that we had today. You had Bayern Munich going home playing against Shakhtar Donetsk, and we also had Chelsea playing at home against PSG from France. So right now Chelsea is sitting top of their league table in England, and they've been just destroying the competition. Now, when they played PSG in Paris, it was a 1-1 tie. Now, the other thing to understand with these type of tournaments are is that away goals will count for extra points because they're playing a home and away leg. So, for instance, if the game today would have, as it did, end in a tie, as a 2-2 tie, so PSG scored 2 away goals versus Chelsea's 1 away goal, they advanced in the tournament. PSG coming from France, they're coming from a weaker league. Chelsea's coming from a stronger league, the Barclays Premier League, and they're playing at home where they've just been dominating the competition. So that's something to look at as far as would you take the underdog in that situation? Probably not. You'd be looking more to take Chelsea, who's been dominant at home and is coming from scoring an away goal, which means all they would have to do basically is tie the game 0-0 and they would advance to the next round. Now, the other game that took place today as well, with Bayern Munich going home playing against a smaller club team, they absolutely destroyed them 7-0. So that's not something that you would really want to bet on as far as the team coming from Turkey, because that's a much weaker domestic league.
Yeah.
So you want to take a look at basically what the league table looks like for that team before you would want to make a bet on the underdog, especially in those type of international tournaments in Europe. So PSG wouldn't have been necessarily a bad bet to make because, I mean, as we saw today, they advanced, and which was pretty incredible because they were playing a man down as well. So they were going 10 against 11. But that wouldn't have been a bad bet to make as far as a draw in that game. Which you're looking at plus money more often than not.
Yeah, that's where I definitely got tripped up with a few times last week because you see, you know, a draw for plus 400, plus 600, and you see so many soccer games that end up in a, you know, 0-0, 1-1, 2-2. And, it was definitely something that got me in trouble. So, you know, just something I'm not exactly positive I don't feel very comfortable breaking down regularly. Now, so just so I'm a little – just so I can understand this a little better, you've got Chelsea who is in the Barclays Premier League, and then they can go and they can play in all of these other different tournaments as well. Is there any kind of limitations they have with how many tournaments they can play or how many games they can play over the course of a, you know, 12-month span or anything?
So each domestic league will have their own tournament. Like right now, Italy has the Supercopa going on. Brazil has the Copa del Rey. Down in Brazil, they have Copa do Brasil, which they'll take the winners from each state tournament. in Brazil, and then they'll go into that larger country tournament where the winners of each state's tournament will advance to play against each other. And over in Europe, what they'll do is, which is much different than the leagues we have here in the U.S., they do not have a playoff system at the end of the season. So for anybody that doesn't know what that means, basically what happens is for each win that a team gets in a soccer match, they'll get 3 points. For each draw, they get 1 point. For a loss, they get zero. So their standings in the table are based off of those points. So what happens for the domestic leagues is, depending on which league you're in, but Chelsea being in a stronger league, they'll take the top five teams from that league, and they will qualify for the Champions League. So some of the other domestic leagues, like Turkey, they might only have two teams that qualify for that Champions League, which is all the countries in Europe qualify for. But as far as their own domestic like competitions, like I mentioned before, there's an FA Cup that they have in England that will include all the different leagues. They'll have a Supporters' Shield, which is like another state tournament. So there's so many tournaments that they can participate in, but it just depends on which one are they really going to take seriously. And for the clubs, like the biggest one you can win is the Champions League in Europe versus, let's say, a smaller tournament like the FA Cup that's going on in England right now.
Okay. Now, when you're taking a look at these games, are you taking into consideration how many games these guys may have played in the last year? So if we've got a team that has gone deep in maybe one or two of these tournaments, is that going to affect how you're capping them in the next game that they have, if it's a tournament or if it's their own league?
Yes, that will make a big difference as far as what team I'm going to pick. Because as I mentioned before, they may have a domestic league game on the weekend, and then in the middle of the week, they'll be playing a tournament game, and then maybe 2 days later, they play another tournament game, either international or domestic. So they may play three games in 1 week for these bigger clubs, whereas the smaller clubs, they might only be playing one game that week. So that's something to take a look at as far as the form is concerned of your team that you want to take a look at, because they may be coming off of a 2-day rest or a 3-day rest versus a smaller club team who's been off for a full week and all their players are healthy and ready to go. So that's something to always take into consideration.
All right. So you've got, I know it's a little past kickoff here, but you do have a parlay that you were liking tonight?
Yes. Right now I've got a parlay going on in the Brazilian São Paulo tournament. We've got Corinthians, Santos, and Botafogo. These are the three teams that we've picked today, all playing at home, and they've all had decent form within the domestic tournament right now.
All right, very good. And anything you're liking for next couple of days here and through the weekend, tournament-wise?
Right now, I haven't taken too much of a look into this weekend's games, but I do know, as far as the FA Cup is concerned that I was talking about in the Premier League, I've gone ahead and made some future bets. And a future bet that I made the other day was on Aston Villa, right now at a plus 550. Depending on who they draw in the next round, they have a very decent shot of advancing to the championship game within the next couple months. So that's something that the listeners may want to take a look at and see if you can get your money on sooner rather than later.
All right. And that is on BetDSI, our preferred sports book, correct?
That is correct.
All right. Very good. Well, thank you for that soccer insight. We went over a little more than I was expecting to, but yeah, there's a lot of good stuff there. Lot of good money to be made in soccer, and we are going to move on to the NBA and NCAA. We do have a lot other stuff going on, but yeah, thank you for giving us that insight on soccer. So in the NBA, we've got a couple things going here. What I'm going to do first is I'm going to give out our free play, because tip-off for the first game is at 7:05, and then we are going to go and do a little rapid fire where I'm going to name off a game, and you're going to tell me who you like and give me just a brief explanation why you like them. But our free play today in the NBA, we've got two of them. We've got a 5 units on Golden State and Detroit over 204. This game is in Golden State, and Detroit's coming off a pretty bad loss last night in L.A. So I think Detroit bounces back a little bit and at least makes this game respectable, but I'm expecting the Warriors to go off and put a lot up. We also have a 5-unit parlay. It is a money line parlay. We got 5 teams to win. Starts off with the Bulls, the Grizzlies, the Bucks, the Hawks, and the Suns. What team do you think is the absolute lock to win out of those 5, and who do you think has the biggest chance to get upset? Jeremy?
Could you repeat that one more time, J.A.? I'm sorry.
Yes, we've got the Bulls, we've got the Grizzlies, mm-hmm. the Bucks, the Hawks, and the Suns. Who do you think can win definitely out of that group? Who do you think has a chance to lose? We've got, let me go over the matchups. Bulls at Sixers, Grizzlies
I like the
at
Bulls.
Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
So you think
yeah,
the
I
Bulls
like
are the lock?
Those two games are pretty definite locks, I would say. Chicago at Philadelphia. Chicago's coming off a home loss where they had come back from 16 down only to be up by 4 and lose within the last few minutes of that game. So be looking for them to rebound against a weak Philadelphia team. As well as Memphis, they're coming off that win against Chicago and again on the road at Boston tonight. Look for them to continue their streak and go ahead and beat up on the Celtics.
The Celtics have been a little pesky, which is why I was a little hesitant to bet the Grizzlies. They were at -4 they opened up at. So I figured it'd be a safer play to put them into a parlay. I didn't really, Boston's been playing pretty well at home. Not necessarily winning, but they just won't go away against a lot of these better teams. So that was kind of one reason why I stayed away from the Grizzlies on the spread. But then we've got Orlando at Milwaukee, Atlanta at Denver, and Minnesota at Phoenix. So we've got Atlanta, Milwaukee, and Phoenix all winning. They're all favorites as well. Who don't you like out of those three?
I think the toughest one out of those three would probably be Minnesota at Phoenix. Phoenix has kind of been up and down since the trade deadline. And Minnesota as well hasn't been very consistent since the Kevin Garnett trade. I know he's not playing in back-to-backs as of yet, but with a young team in both cities, Minnesota and Phoenix, kind of looking for a higher-paced game, and we'll see basically what happens in that. But I would list that one as more of a toss-up than any of the other games.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed with Phoenix the first couple games after the trade because they got Brandon Knight. I'm a big fan of Brandon Knight. I think he can do a lot of good stuff. But, he hadn't quite clicked right off the bat. And then as I started to fade them last week, they started to come back and play pretty well. So, I'm kind of in between on Phoenix right now, not knowing what to expect out of them. But I figured Minnesota is playing the second of a back-to-back, going on the road and with a young team. I just kind of have a feeling that this is a game that they're not going to come out and play too well in. So that's why I was going Phoenix in that one. Let's take a look at some of the other board. We've got Sacramento at Charlotte. Charlotte's 8.5-point favorites. Who do you like in that one?
I like Charlotte in that one. That could be a decent game. They're playing at home. Sacramento is another one of those teams that's pretty volatile. You never know really what you're going to get out of DeMarcus Cousins. He may have a great game. He may have a game where, Al Jefferson's in his head and he just can't perform. So that's another good game to look at as far as a money line bet, I would say, is concerned rather than a spread in Charlotte's favor.
Now, I'm sure you saw the clip of was it Al Jefferson with the alley-oop, and Cousins didn't even bother trying to even walk with him. He literally just had his hands on his knees coming out of a inbound from the side. I know exactly what you mean. It's hard to say. One thing I do like about Sacramento, after you lose like that last night, I tend to think most teams come back and play a little better. So I think you're right. I don't like Charlotte covering that 8.5, but they're definitely going to win that one. Grizzlies, they have moved from 4.5-point favorites to 6.5-point favorites, so people are definitely buying Memphis up. We both like the Grizzlies in that one. Brooklyn at the Heat. Heat, 4-point favorites at home. They ruined my night a couple nights ago when I had them against Phoenix. Who do you like in that one?
Right now, both teams have kind of been up and down. I do like Miami a little bit better because Goran Dragic should be back tonight. And Mario Chalmers and Dwayne Wade have been playing well as of late. The big thing to look at in that game is that Hassan Whiteside, the center that's been performing very well for Miami, is out tonight. So that's something to take a look at as far as the post-battle is concerned, where Brook Lopez last night was having a great game. So he may go ahead and have another great game tonight against Miami in Miami. But that's something to take a look at.
Yeah, it's hard to have a whole lot of faith in Miami just because they've had so many injury problems throughout the season. And, you know, even after the trade where I felt pretty high on them, just can't keep guys on the court. And pretty tough to win games when you can't keep guys on the court in that league. We've got out west, Clippers at Thunder. Thunder, 6.5-point favorites. I thought this was pretty high for me. But then again, the Clippers, they've had some injury issues of their own. And this is one of those games in the NBA where two good teams that have injury issues go at it, and the better team could get blown out here. What do you think? 6.5 on the Thunder. Would you be taking that?
6.5 points is kind of tough. I know Chris Paul's listed as day-to-day right now. So that's something to take a look at as far as before you were to make a bet to see if he will be playing tonight, before you were to, let's say, lock in on the Clippers. As far as Oklahoma City is concerned, I mean, Russell Westbrook is still playing at an incredible pace, having a triple-double again in his last game. I know they've had some letdowns as of late when they lost to the Bulls, for instance, after leading the whole game. So, and then, you know, they go ahead and beat Toronto the next night. So that's something to take a look at as far as Oklahoma City is concerned. I'm not sure about the spread in that one either. That may be more of a money line bet than a spread.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that one. I don't feel comfortable betting against Russell Westbrook right now, especially with the amount of guys that seem to be on the injury report for the Clippers. But Oklahoma City's made some interesting games lately. They haven't necessarily been controlling the way that a lot of people thought they should. So I don't know if I'm ready to trust them covering 6.5 right now. The last game we're going to talk about in the NBA, Houston at Portland. Portland, 2-point favorites at home. This game opened, I want to say, at about 2.5 or 3. It was bought down a little bit, but it looks like it may be going back in Portland's favor right now. You can get the money line on Portland at -135. Over-under is at 205. Personally, I like the over, and I think I like Portland to cover 2 points. What do you got?
I like that over as well. You've got both two high-octane offenses that are going to be going at it. James Harden, again, is playing at an MVP level. The big thing to look at as far as the Blazers are concerned is that Wesley Matthews is now out for the season. So they'll have a little bit of a scoring lag from their backcourt, but they have a lot of other guys that are willing to step up and kind of make a difference on that team. So that would be an interesting one to look at. As far as the battle down low is concerned, LaMarcus Aldridge is playing like a beast right now, so that could be a, a great matchup as far as the Blazers are concerned. And they don't sit that far apart from each other in the standings as is. So this could be more of a statement game for Portland than it is for Houston. Also, I did have the privilege of watching a game in Portland this year. The fan base is nuts. It'd be really loud in there. So that's always something to take into consideration as well.
Yeah, that Portland team is impressive. I like what they've been doing. They've made it through the Aldridge injury, which he didn't miss that much time, but you know, losing a player like of that caliber, definitely big. Houston, I'm not quite sure how to read them. You know, I feel like they go through that 3 or 4 or 5 game stretch where they look unstoppable, and then they kind of hit just a couple bad bumps, and they don't play very well against some inferior teams. So, you know, maybe that's just how it is in the West. You've got to play with such high intensity night in, night out, and then you get a chance to kind of like take a break against the team, and maybe you don't prepare mentally as well as you should. So, I like what you mean, though, or I like what you're looking at with Portland at home. I think it is a good play. So on to college basketball. We are in the middle of championship week, and we've got about 15 minutes of archive time right now. So hopefully you live listeners have switched over and are listening to us in archive time. A couple of these tip-offs are going to be happening right away. So I'll do a little rapid fire here. Pittsburgh, NC State, this game opened as a 4-point favorite. Pittsburgh has been bought down to 3. Do you like Pittsburgh in this matchup?
I think it's going to be a good matchup. I do see, I don't know if ESPN has got the wrong lines here, but they have NC State as a 3-point favorite.
I'm sorry, you are correct. So they opened at 4, now they've been bought down to 3. So Pittsburgh, basically a lot of money's gone down on Pittsburgh to bring it down from 4 to 3.
Right. I think Pittsburgh has a good shot at it. So that's a game to watch right there.
Were you surprised Pittsburgh, starting with like last Sunday, they were pretty much in a must-win situation, and I believe they lost 3 straight. Were you surprised by that?
Not really. A lot of the teams have letdowns this time of year. I mean, Florida State was also in a must-win at that point kind of as well. So it comes down to who wants it more, and as far as, you know, who's sitting higher in the standings, who wants an easier road to an ACC tournament final. And I guess, you know, Pittsburgh just didn't want it as much as these other teams, Wake, Miami, and Florida State. So it'd be interesting to see how they perform against NC State tonight. They did lose to NC State by 18 at NC State during the regular season. So it could be an interesting game for Pitt to bounce back. It could be an interesting game for NC State to kind of take over, but I would like to see Pitt make it close and fight to the end on this one.
When it comes to the ACC tournament, do you think it's pretty much a lock, North Carolina and Duke in the championship? Actually, you know, I haven't even checked. They are 1-2, correct? So I think they will be able to meet, or are they – with someone else in between them?
North Carolina, I don't believe, was a number 2. I don't think Duke was a I believe Virginia was number 1. And then, I mean, you have a Louisville, you have there's a couple other teams in the ACC that you're never really sure what could happen. I mean, those are always the top 2 as far as you know, fans are concerned. So a lot of times those two teams are a lock as far as to make it. And, I mean, they've had great battles during the regular season, only for Duke to come out on top. And NC State did struggle a little – I mean, I'm sorry, UNC did struggle a little bit today during the first half against Boston College, but then they pulled it out by 18. So that's always something to look at as well. But I do like both of those teams to advance far in the ACC tournament.
Yeah, I don't know why I completely forgot about Virginia. They've been right up there all season. So with that in mind, do you think Virginia is going to get a number 1 seed? or is it going to be Duke? Or do you just think it depends on whoever wins the ACC tournament, assuming one of those two wins? Do you think they're locked for the first for number one?
I think it has a lot to do. I know the AP poll as well as the USA Today coaches poll both have them 2 and 3. Virginia's 4th in the USA Today poll. But I think a lot of their seeding will depend on who wins the ACC championship. So that's something to take a look at. If Duke were to underperform, you could see Villanova moving up. If Arizona dominates the Pac-12, you could see them moving up. And Wisconsin as well, dominating the Big Ten tournament, you could see them moving up to a number one seed.
All right, that's good stuff right there, the ACC tournament. You know, I feel that the ACC is the conference of conferences here. You know, everybody likes Kentucky, but, you know, what I've felt all year is that they just have not played good enough competition in their own conference. Not to say that they're not good enough to beat everybody, but when you look at some of the other conferences night in and night out, much tougher competition for these other powerhouses than what Kentucky's faced. Team that I actually do like, which they've kind of faded down the stretch here at the end of the season, so we'll see if they actually do anything in the tournament, is Kansas. Kansas has played the toughest schedule in the nation, and I really feel that, you know, they've definitely – you got to beat those teams, and they're not consistently beating the top teams. So just because they played the toughest schedule doesn't mean a whole lot at that point. But I really think that Kansas has been tested throughout the year. I think they're working through a lot of issues. Now, they could end up being an early exit just because how tough of a schedule they've played, and you just, you know, mentally you get torn down. But – who, when you're looking at the tournament right now, not even, you know, we know probably what 45 of the teams that are going to be in there, maybe 50 of the teams that are going to be in there. There's not going to be too many surprises. Who are you looking at as a possible team to really surprise people and maybe go a little further than what they're expecting?
I always take a look at the middle of the standing pack. I think a team that could surprise some people, and that's, you know, also dependent on how they do as far as the ACC tournament is concerned, would be Notre Dame. They've kind of been a sleeper this year. They've had some good fights in the ACC. I would look at them to possibly make some noise. I mean, they beat Duke at home in South Bend only to go to Cameron Indoor and get spanked. So you never really know how they're going to perform. And that goes with a lot of the teams from bigger conferences. But I would look at them. They've also played a pretty tough schedule. I mean, the ACC, like you said, is kind of the conference of conferences. And right now they're sitting at 26-5. So I would look for them to kind of make a deeper run than some of the mid-majors that are ranked high, like a Wichita State or Northern Iowa. I don't believe those two teams will advance very far in the tournament this year.
And when I know we've talked about Notre Dame in the past when I've been, you know, when we've been going over who our picks are for the night. And, you know, Notre Dame is one of those teams, and I know you've mentioned this to me on a number of occasions, that they play really well at home. But, you know, on the road, it's been kind of a different story. So what we tend to do is fade them on the road, especially if their opponent is getting quite a few points. How are you going to approach your bracket? What are you going to look for in teams? Like, when are you deciding that, yeah, this is a good upset to take?
I think it'll all depend on what happens on Selection Sunday. Big thing to take into consideration when the tournament is concerned is where are these teams playing their games at? So, you know, a team from the East Coast might get placed in games that are going on the West Coast or somewhere, you know, outside of the even central time zone. That's a lot of travel concerned in that as far as it goes for a college-age team. And also looking at what's going on when they're coming out of their conference tournament. So some teams, they may make it based off of their regular season record rather than a conference tournament record because of, like you mentioned before, Kansas having a really tough schedule this year. A team like Notre Dame, they may get knocked out in the ACC tournament, but because they had such a good season, they may make it, but they may get seeded somewhere outside of a time zone that they're comfortable playing in. And when the travel comes into play there, they could just be jet-lagged and toss up an egg when they get to the game.
I like that.
That's something
good stuff. Trying to think about the time zones is just something I think a lot of people don't understand, or you know, maybe not even realize when you're filling out a bracket and you've got just a sheet of paper in front of you doesn't have game times on it.
All right. And you're always going to have, you know, teams from those mid-major conferences that are going to pull an upset here and there. But as we've seen before with a team like Gonzaga, for instance, they may play a couple really big non-conference games, and then they may dominate at the beginning of the season in their own conference. But when it comes towards the end of the season and even into their conference tournament, they may struggle with a few teams. For instance, they struggled with BYU recently, only to beat them in their conference championship game last night. But that's a team to take a look at always as a possible upset.
I like it. Anybody else you got tonight? Anyone you're looking at? Anyone you think has a lock to win or something that you want to see happen tonight?
You know, this Auburn-Mississippi State game that's going on right now, I think that'll be interesting to watch as far as the SEC tournament is concerned. You got a lot of mid-majors, like South Carolina State, Norfolk State. I mean, these are games that don't mean much right now, but they will matter as far as the seeding's concerned when we get a little further into these conference tournaments. So Miami-Virginia Tech, that's a big one to look at. Miami's had a decent run this season, but if they were to get upset by Virginia Tech tonight, that would knock off kind of some of the bubble teams. But I would look at Miami to kind of win this game, as well as Texas against Texas State in the Big 12. So those are two games that I'll be definitely watching this evening.
All right. Two, couple of the games that we've got, Arizona State, USC. We're on Arizona State -6.5. Do you like that play?
I do like that play.
I like it. What else we got here? St. Louis, DeQuince. We got DeQuince -3. It has moved up to 3.5 now. Do you like that play, or are you thinking St. Louis is going to be pulling the upset?
You know, anything is possible, but, yeah, I mean, Duquesne or whatever, however you pronounce that name, you know, they have a little bit better record in the Athletic 10 Conference, so I mean, Atlantic 10. So anything's possible in those mid majors. You never really know what's going to happen.
All right, and then finally, we've got a 5-unit parlay up here. It is again a money line parlay, paying +234. We've got Arizona State to win, UNLV to win against Nevada, Western Kentucky to win against Marshall, South Carolina to win against Missouri, and Stanford to win against Washington. Is this a lock for tonight?
I think that has a pretty good shot at being a lock for tonight. So that's a pretty good one, I would say, for any listeners right now to put their money on and just let it roll.
Let it roll. I like the sounds of that. All right, well, that's going to do it for us tonight. We are going to hopefully be moving to an hour show next week. We're going to be doing a couple selection shows. We're going to build a bracket. We are going to go over some other betting tips when it comes to the tournament. And, you know, starting really on Thursday morning, with Thursday at 11 a.m. is when it starts to get rapid fire. We're going to have 16 games on Thursday, 16 games on Friday, and then the weekend will keep rolling. So it's going to be a busy time around here. If you guys are interested in getting any free picks from us, send me an email to spread@coverthatspread.com, and I will get you guys on our daily free playlist and make sure that you guys are cashing tickets on a daily basis. So I would like to thank the Casacho, and hopefully you're here next week as well for all of the fun tournament activities that we'll have going on. And for me, JA, and the Red Light Sports Network, thank you guys for listening. And may the spread be forever in your favor. Good night and good luck.